It is time for Conversations with the Mayors, brought to us, as always, by the Chamber for a Greater Chapel Hill Carrboro. They're inviting you to join their local business leader community to get connected, stay informed, and drive progress today. Head to their website, carolinachamber.org, to learn more about the Chamber and Chamber membership. It is Thursday, so we are talking Chapel Hill, and there is a lot to catch up on, so we're welcoming over the phone Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger. Pam, happy Thursday. How are you?
Happy Thursday. It's beautiful outside.
Oh, man.
So I'm feeling good.
We're so lucky.
Yeah, we are. It's really pretty. We needed the rain yesterday, so that all worked out. But I've been meeting a lot with the chancellor this week. Just came back from a meeting. We had the housing report that we commissioned. It's going to be shown to the council and the public next week at the Council Committee on Economic Sustainability. That meeting will be videotaped so that if anyone wants to watch it later, they can do that as well. But just some interesting highlights about what kind of housing do we need in Chapel Hill, what are we lacking, what do we need, and how do we do that. And so it'll be an interesting discussion next week. So I advise people stay tuned.
Yeah, looking forward to that. Lots to go over there. And it comes, as I imagine, you know, meetings are really picking back up again after people are kind of coming back from a little bit of a break over the summer. And I know that's the same for the Chapel Hill Town Council, as you guys have already had two meetings this week, which is hard to believe. And the first business meeting was last night. Any highlights that you want to share for folks?
Yeah, we did some good things. We are going to be putting, we voted to go ahead and put Reverend Seymour and Edith Wiggins on the Peace and Justice Plaza. We know that Reverend Seymour fought for civil rights and inclusion, and Ms. Wiggins was the first African-American vice chancellor at UNC, and she served on both the school board and the town council, a dedicated public servant. And we'll have an unveiling ceremony later after we get that all squared away. And then we took some steps towards all kinds of things last night. There was a lot on the consent agenda because of the summertime, but we talked all about how to be getting ready for September, which is Emergency Preparedness Month, and we were watching Hurricane Ida and talking about how our community needs to be prepared and asking people to make sure they sign up for Orange County Alerts or make sure they're signed up for the town's alerts and the week so we can get that information out there. We talked a lot about stormwater last night. We've made a move to have the Stormwater Board look at projects at the front end, at the concept plan end, the ones that are bigger parcels or have an RCD or a creek or something, so that they can kind of give the feedback before it becomes a baked plan. So that was on there. We talked about improving our noise ordinance. Again, we've had some more noise issues that just needed a little tweaking there to help get people to make sure they're being. And then we talked about some updates from the MPO and NCDOT. I love these acronyms, the Metropolitan Planning Organization and the future. The transit and travel and all kinds of things. And our community really values thinking forward with the multimodal paths and alternate and transit and alternate ways of just instead of being in cars. And so these plans, unfortunately, that they put in front of us that they would like us to choose from all involve widening I-40 more, and that's not really the path we think this our community supports. So we're talking about how do we get that message to NCDOT and the people who make these decisions that we want more investment in those alternative ways of transportation. And so they have the public outreach is out there on their Move NC 2050 plan. And they're also talking about the litter sweep, which starts on September 11th. I know people in our community love that. You can check that out from our website as well. So,
I want to talk a little bit more about the transit in just a second, actually, because I know there's some stuff happening with Chapel Hill Transit, but I want to go back to that noise ordinance. We actually kind of had a bit of a breakup on the line, as you were mentioning that, but we've done some coverage essentially right before the break. Chapel Hill Town Council aimed to kind of make it so there was less kind of criminal punishment when there was violation on these noise ordinances. And I think that might have confused folks, but we heard back in May, I think it was, that the history of these ordinances, and while that is still in place, there was like a little bit of clarification last night in terms of, okay, when does it make sense for criminal charges to kind of come into play, correct?
Right, and so the philosophy is, you know, first we always give a warning, but if someone doesn't cease and desist with the noise that's affecting other folks, we weren't giving a criminal charge, right? Because we didn't want to send someone to criminal process for noise violation. So basically, I think a lot of these groups that were creating the noise knew that we weren't going to really do anything. So we changed to a civil, so you get a fine. Well, some groups were happy to pay the fine and continue with the noise, and we didn't really say, wait a minute, that's not the goal here. The goal is to be good neighbors. So we needed to give clarification that there are going to be outcomes, and we will get you to shut the music down or whatever the loud noise is. So we have both pathways to go. And then we have a better relationship and process with UNC now, since we've been working together during COVID, to report any student behavior like that to the Office of Student Affairs, and then they can work with the students as well, even though they live off campus. So we're learning as we go, but we're also creating processes that we hope will be a lot more effective.
We're speaking with Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger. Townofchapelhill.org is the place to go in order to find last night's town council meeting and all of the things on the agenda for that. And to go back to alternative transportation, I know that's a big focus for Chapel Hill, and Chapel Hill Transit is kind of a crown jewel in that regard. But we've got a story that we're running tomorrow, and we've heard from the transit system recently that they're kind of having a hard time with all of the driver shortages, which is a real shame to hear.
It is, and it's not just us. It's all across the nation. It's with the school system as well. That we have less than 3% unemployment in Chapel Hill right now. Everyone is struggling for workers at all kinds of levels in the service industry, but mostly with drivers as well. They've just, during COVID, people took other jobs and things like that. So we're really offering all kinds of incentives to get drivers on board, but because we have a lack of drivers, we've had to scale back some of the routes or the frequency. And that's just hard. We want people to use transit. We want to make it convenient and have it more frequent. So until we get more drivers on board, we're going to have to operate with different kinds of flexibility here to help out with the situation.
Absolutely. And kind of in some other local events, turning to something that happened over the weekend, too, a big affordable housing march through downtown Chapel Hill. And then we just got word from the town reminding developers, hey, our application for affordable housing projects is back open. You want to share a little bit more about that?
Yes. So we have wonderful affordable housing advocates and partnerships in town. We know that we need to create more affordable housing for people who are earning 30% and below of area median income. A lot of our workers here do important jobs, but they need to be able to have housing to go with that job. Anyone that has to commute from a long distance in, it's too hard on a lifestyle to do that for lower paying jobs, and we need to have everyone living here and have opportunities for others to live here. That was part of this housing talk today, too, the study that we've done. And so how do we get that? And it's really hard to get that 30% and below because it's such a deviation for the market rate right now, which is way over, 100% and more. And so when we negotiate these things, they'll offer a certain number of units at 80%, and we know that we need more units at the 60% and the 30% below. So it was to raise awareness, it was to make sure that we're listening, and we are, and we know that we can do more housing on parcels that we own. So when the town owns the land, that takes part of the cost out of the equation. When we partner with our affordable housing partners, they can leverage other dollars coming together to build those units that we need for families and individuals who are 60% below and 30%. It just makes it more reachable. And so we talk a lot about that, but we're aiming for that. And then we have the penny for housing, and that's what you saw the announcement of the application process, the $668,000 that we distribute every year. And we do it in two pots usually, but we're working on multiple projects to bring more affordable housing into our community.
Absolutely. We're speaking with Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger, townofchapelhill.org, where you can go check out that post about the affordable housing application and many of the other things we have been speaking about. Got a couple more minutes left here. Pam, anything else happening around the town you want to let folks know about?
Yeah, so Commissioner Chair Price and I reached out to the Chancellor on Monday to say, hey, the big football game's coming up here. We really want you to figure out how to help people be safer, mask mandate, something of the, even though it's outside, bringing 50,000 people together in the stadium with spread of COVID at the moment. It just really, there's got to be better answers to helping with this. And it was a great, after sending the letter, I had a good conversation. The first game is away this weekend, and so the team will be on the road, and then they're back here on September 11th. So we've got time to figure out, are there better opportunities to encourage better safety? measures, and he said that all options are on the table at the moment, trying to figure out what that looks like. So I know people have been concerned. We know that we get a lot of people who come to our community for football games. It's a celebratory time, and people want to be able to do things. But right now, as the Delta variant is still surging, we're hoping that it's going to level off and start dropping in the near future. But even outdoors, we really want to encourage people when they're in groups that size, 100 or more, to wear their masks. So we've been trying to do the education on that. And then a big shout out to our Chapel Hill Police Department, who've been helping Orange Habitat build a new home in Orange County. We have these amazing individuals who serve in our community who are also committed to our community. So we just want to say shout out and thank you for caring and spending your free time doing this.
Yeah.
Meeting tonight on Glen Lennox. It's a public information meeting. It will be virtual and start at 5:15. And then that Council Committee on Economic Sustainability is next Friday the 10th. It also will be recorded, so people can tune into that. We are not having a council meeting the next two Wednesdays because they are Jewish holidays, and we were trying to be respectful. So our next council meeting won't be till September 22nd.
Yes, and there is a big stormwater meeting, too. I know we've talked about it a couple more times. I figure we can plug it one more.
Okay. I'm very excited about this meeting, an opportunity to bring folks together to hear from the staff and the consultant about why the plan, what the problem is and why the plan is the way it was designed, but to hear from a community group that's also been researching and bringing forward ideas. And, you know, it's 5 years ago when we did the first steps of research, so we have an opportunity to learn from each other and to see if there's better ideas that don't cut down trees and the tree canopy, because we know from our climate action plan that tree canopy is really important for helping with our climate change. And so I'm excited about folks coming together, learning from each other, and also sharing ideas, best practices, and it will also be recorded. So if you can't attend at the time, you can watch it later. There's been a lot of public interest on this, and I'm very pleased that people were willing to come and find a way to collaborate on this.
More details on those upcoming meetings and many of the other things we've been chatting about today on the Town of Chapel Hill website, townofchapelhill.org. As always, Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger, thanks so much for the time, and we'll talk with you again next week.
Okay, thank you. Stay safe. Bye.